Hi, and welcome to Adventure Dog Podcast, the podcast all about doing amazing things with your doggos. I'm Nathan Berry, she's Rue the Shark, and this is episode 16. Today, Rue delves into diet. I have some food for thought, and we have a short episode that covers raw feeding from two of our previous guests. In the past couple of weeks, I unfortunately had a couple interviews that had to cancel or reschedule, so I was not able to get a full episode lined up for today, and I do apologize for that, but I want to say thank you to everyone out there that has been listening each week and to all the people that I've had the chance to talk to so far. It's been really fantastic. So today is just a little bit different. I'm going to bring you some really great info, a little bit less adventure, and more about what fuels the adventures, and that is food. I have to start out by saying that, of course, I am not a nutrition expert. Everything you hear is simply opinion, and when I can, I try to make sure that everything is based on facts and proven evidence. So if you've been listening for long, you'll know that I'm extremely interested in healthy food as a way to improve my own running, but that carries over into how I feed my pups, especially Rue, who runs regularly with me, and she is extremely active. I still feed a very high-quality kibble, and I occasionally like to implement raw treats along with her meals. So, to get into it, research. Do your research. Raw feeding isn't necessarily for everyone, and a dog can live a normal, healthy life on a good quality kibble. My previous dog, who was on the same kibble for 17 years, and he did great. Again, I'm not an expert, so talk to your vet to see if a raw diet is something that you want to do. I guess really I should answer why. Why do a raw diet? And my personal reasons are pretty simple. First, as an athlete, I believe in whole and natural food. It's what our bodies, and I would think that our dogs or any living creature, was designed to eat. And sure, I rely on kibble for my dogs, but it's more out of habit and convenience. Again, there's nothing wrong if that's what you use. Secondly, it's about energy. Rue is highly active and she runs a lot, so I want to do everything I can to help her have the energy for those long runs and the recovery afterwards. I know that eating whole healthy food and cutting out all the processed foods has benefited me greatly over the last few years, so there's a possibility that it will work with Rue as well. Other than that, I'd like to think that the cost will be less in the long run as well. No pun intended. I won't know the cost until I've done it and I can track that, but I'm sure that the time spent will be a factor. Hopefully, though, once the prep work becomes habit, it won't be too time-consuming. A big issue in the news lately is, of course, grain-free diet and a possible link to DCM, or canine dilated cardiomyopathy, which is heart failure. And DCM typically occurs in some large breeds. There is an ongoing FDA investigation that has shown a rise in reports of atypical cases, specifically breeds that don't commonly have DCM, and there's still no clear evidence that a grain-free diet is causing the issue, but from the FDA report is that 90% of the cases reported using a food that was grain-free. Of those, 93% were foods containing peas or lentils as the main ingredient. And yes, even raw diets were included in the results. So all of this information you can find. There is also a great article on the American Kennel Club website, which I'll link to in the show notes. But before you freak out about grain-free diets, let me go on to say that ingredients such as peas and lentils are perfectly fine for a dog, as well as grain, unless, of course, your dog has an allergy to one of these ingredients. So there's no reason to avoid a high-quality kibble that includes grain. From everything I've researched, the issue concerning DCM is that many grain-free foods use the vegetable proteins and starches as the main ingredient rather than an animal protein. So you end up with some major imbalances and possibly not getting enough of the key amino acids, specifically taurine, that comes from meat sources and are necessary for a healthy heart and muscle building. But taurine levels are not the only indicator. I won't go into every aspect of DCM since it's a bit more complicated, and like I said, it's still an ongoing investigation by the FDA, but again, I'll put a link to the most recent FDA update on DCM in the show notes. So to sum it all up, a raw diet can still be a healthy diet as long as it's balanced and includes the correct percentages of key nutrients, vitamins, minerals, everything that your pups need. So sourcing. The ingredients for a raw diet can be as simple as going to the grocery store to find all of those ingredients, though later on I'll get into why this might not be the best solution. Or if it's available and you prefer it, try contacting your local butcher, a farmer even, or even a specialty market that provides meats specifically for dogs and cats. And in the upcoming interview, Honey's mom, Cassidy, talks about where she gets her ingredients in the Denver area in Colorado. There is a growing market online as well for providing fresh meats and supplements for raw diets. Next would be the preparation, which can be simple, but try different ways of preparing your dog's meals to see what they prefer. The easiest is grinding or blending all the ingredients maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks and kind of meal prepping and freezing it to use throughout the week. Keep in mind some supplements you might use or add in. You probably want to add in at feeding time rather than combining into the mix before you freeze. As for preference, some dogs might like to eat their meats in cubes or chunks rather than a grind. Dogs can actually be naturally picky eaters, so see what works best for you. Feeding. How much? Typical suggested amounts to feed are about 2 to 3% of your dog's body weight, or without doing too much math, about a half pound for every 25 pounds of weight daily. So Rue, who is 70 pounds, would get just under a pound and a half each day. And I split that into morning and evening. And don't forget to calculate in treats if you do a whole bunch of treats. Obviously, amounts can be adjusted. It all depends on their activity levels or if you start to notice they're putting on or losing weight. Just kind of be observant and make sure that your dog is healthy, has a healthy weight, and is happy. Of course, the days when Rue and I go out and do some of those longer runs, I give her a little bit of bonus and extra treats. So here's a couple of conversations I've had with two dog parents who have successfully been doing raw diets. My first real conversation about diet was with Cassidy, the dog mom to Honey, at Hiking with Honey. And more recently, I spoke with Jillian, the dog mom to Mally, and Apollo at Black Dogs Adventuring. Lastly, I talked to my vet because I like to look at all sides, and I truly trust her professional opinion.
But I'm happy that we were able to get out of the car before it happened.
Well, not to start into this subject because of that story, but you mentioned in your Instagram that you do raw feeding for her.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to know, you know, more about the raw eating. I have started looking into kind of more of a raw diet for Rue, especially considering how much running that she does and probably how much better for her. We currently feed her a really high quality food, but we're starting to do a little more raw, and I'm definitely looking into it. Tell me a little bit about how you do that and kind of some of the details and specifics with honey.
Yeah, so when I first started feeding her raw, we started on Sojo's, which is a freeze-dried formula. And then, it's just been a lot of reading to, like, know, like, what she needs, like, different, like, vitamin sources and, like,
yeah,
you know, making sure she's getting everything so that she doesn't have any.
That really is the tough part.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's constant fear.
Because I've looked at it quite extensively, and it looks like the ingredients are all really, obviously, it's raw, so it should be pretty simple, but I think mm-hmm. knowing the right amount of macronutrients and supplemental stuff that you have to add into it is really the difficult part to figure out.
Yeah, it is definitely, it's a constant, it's what I do, like, every week. I spend every week, like, you know, spend like a couple hours every week setting her food up for the next week.
So just essentially meal prepping.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause I've transitioned her off of freeze dried and just like, I put everything together myself now. And I actually get most of my meat from a local company here. And she works with like a lot of farms, both in Colorado and in Idaho, to get like pig stuff and beef stuff and lots of different, all the different organs and different muscle cuts. And she loves it. She has her favorites and she has the things she will not eat. Like lung, it does not matter what animal the lung comes from. If it's raw, she will not eat it.
Okay. What about supplements and stuff like that? How are you adding into just the meat stuff? Because I know that I'm assuming that you also do some vegetable stuff in there as well.
Yeah, so I do stick to all natural supplements, and like I try not to buy anything, even though I know like nothing's a bad source.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to know exactly what she's getting everything from. So like we do, she gets vegetables, and like I know a lot of raw feeders give fish oil to help with like the omega-3s, to help balance the omega-3 to omega-6s. And I just give her fish because it's not as expensive, honestly. And it's not from a bottle. And I don't know. There's something about it coming from a bottle that just doesn't seem as effective to me.
Sure.
But that's just me. That's just me.
I think probably a lot of people rely on the bottles just because of simplicity.
It's convenient.
Yeah. Totally convenient. And trying to keep a week's worth or 2 weeks worth of fish and get the right amount and concentration of that is probably a little bit difficult too. And of course,
and I am very lucky insofar that I am like, it's just me and her.
Yeah.
So like, I don't have to share the freezer space with anybody or any other, like, you know, so I am definitely very lucky in that regard.
Yeah. My partner and I, we really struggle sometimes finding room in the, not just in the fridge and freezer for our food, but now finding room for our dog's food as well. So it's that I can see is definitely a struggle sometimes. But and we do use bottled fish oil. And I'll say to each their own. I think everyone has their own preference and their own way of doing it. We've been
absolutely
pretty
happy.
And
there's no wrong way to do it at all.
There's no wrong way to do it, but I'm always curious to know if there are better ways to do it. And so that's kind of why I'm curious, you know, and not just for my dogs, but especially for myself. I'm a pretty active person and I'm the same way. If I can eat healthy, you know, why would I not want to also do the same for, you know, for my children, for my dog as well? That's a big deal. That's totally a big deal. So yeah, if I would eat it, I'll feed it to my dog. So I'm kind of, you know, it makes me stop and think, would I eat fish oil out of a bottle? Yeah, probably. But if I could get the real thing, if I could eat, you know, raw fish, heck yeah, I would definitely do that. So it comes down to, a matter of personal opinion and convenience, like you said.
Yeah. And accessibility. I mean,
yes, that's really
combined.
The hard part. How do you, obviously you did the research, but do you just get pretty much everything from the grocery store?
As far as like her stuff, like the, you know, like the nuts that I do and like the vegetables. Yeah. And I will occasionally get meat from the grocery store. Like if I find like good sales, but I mostly get it through my the local company that I use here for meat.
I'm assuming that they're just like a meat market for human food as well. It's like a meat
dogs.
Market.
Yeah.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. She's specifically for dogs. Yeah.
Really? Okay. That's see, that is what makes the big difference. We don't have anything like that here yet.
She's down in, she's down in Colorado Springs. So she's mostly online. Yeah. So I either go pick it up if I have the time, cause I like to like, you know, go visit with her and, if I can. Yeah. Her company name is Primitive Choice.
Primitive Choice. And I'm assuming that's online at primitivechoice.com.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And that's her Instagram handle as well.
Okay.
She's on Instagram.
At Primitive Choice on Instagram. Yeah. I'll definitely have to put that in the show notes and kind of mention that. That's awesome to hear that someone's focused on raw feeding for dogs. That's really the hard part. That's the missing link of, you know, getting the right ingredients.
Yeah. Do you know about Real Dog Box?
Tell me about that. What was the name of it?
It's Real Dog Box. It's all just one word, their Instagram handle. And they don't do prepackaged foods. Like I think, the one big one I know of is Spot and Tango, and I know there's others out there too.
Okay.
They do air dried treats and chews.
Okay.
For dogs, but they do a lot of like educational stuff because they feed their dogs raw, and they started trying to do something like that, but they instead are trying to like bring education on healthier feeding for dogs to more, as many, you know, as many people as they can. And it's a subscription box, like, you know, like BarkBox or Bleed Make or any of those. But instead of like the dogs, my dad gets Bully Make, and they love the toys and they love the treats too.
Yeah.
But like when you sit down and look at the ingredients list on all of those kinds of treats, it's like, it's a good like occasional snack. I still feed honey, all of that kind of junk occasionally. And like I use kibble to train her, cause she loves it. Honestly, she really does love kibble. But it's been a really great way to incorporate, like whole meat cuts into your dog's food without needing to refrigerate it at all.
Okay.
And the chews are really good. Like this last month was beef backstrap, and chicken feet, and I want to say duck necks.
Okay.
But it was lamb ears. And like their lamb ears come with the fur still on them.
Yeah.
So like I see lamb ears at Chuck and Don's and like they're like the bleached,
yeah,
like white processed little things. And I'm like,
yeah.
And is that what an ear is supposed to look like?
Dogs don't really care what their food looks like. I think, yeah, so often you get companies that make dog treats look attractive for the humans.
Mm-hmm.
And there's oftentimes there's really no need for that.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah, I'm glad you talked a little bit about that. That's something I'm starting to get way more into, and there's a lot to it. I mean, it's no pun intended, the rabbit hole goes pretty deep there. So
yeah, I want to say it was, I did at least 3 or 4 months of research before I even put her on Sojo's.
Okay.
And then once I did that, it was even then more before I switched her to like doing it myself.
Okay.
So yeah, it's been a lot of reading.
Well, cool. I will definitely be mentioning and listing some of this information in the show notes for, obviously, for anyone that's interested in looking at that and maybe going that direction, or if they're already going that direction, getting more information, especially for for some local stuff there in the Denver area. That's really cool. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course.
After exploring all day, getting back, I guess the pups are a little worn out. You said getting up in the morning, they're really good to go. And I guess this is a perfect time to talk about their diet. And being on a raw diet, I would expect that kind of helps their energy levels. Did they used to be, I mean, give me a little bit of background. Were they originally on a kibble diet and then you switched them to raw?
Yeah, so they were on Nature's Domain, I want to say.
Okay.
Like the Costco brand. Mm-hmm. And they did, I mean, they did really well. They've always been in pretty good shape, and you know, but there was just we've kind of embraced the full-fledged crazy dog parent lifestyle.
Sure.
In the last few years, which I feel a lot better about.
Hey, here we are on a dog podcast. I completely know how you feel.
It's amazing. And we also, it was kind of thanks to Instagram, so we met one of our friends. Their Instagram handle is @Mr_Mogul. He's a Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Okay.
And he's a beautiful, beautiful dog. I mean, if you've ever, have you ever met a Ridgeback?
Oh yeah, I have. I've recently made friends with a couple of them here on Instagram through the podcast, and I get to see their explorations a little bit, and they're just beautiful dogs.
It's they're really impressive. Like I'd never seen one before. And on top of the fact that they, you know, they have their cool ridge, obviously, they can be really big, powerful, athletic dogs.
Yeah.
And he is just in phenomenal shape. And I had to ask his mom, I'm like, what do you guys do with him? Because he, when we met him, he was still under a year old. And he, I mean, just looked fantastic. And she said, well, he's on a raw diet. And she does it herself.
Okay.
And we've been kind of interested in it. And so I've used her as a resource a lot for figuring out what kind of model works best for us. And I did a lot of research online about it. And so we do a loose prey model. So like 80% muscle meats, 10% bone,
okay,
10% organ, with 5% of that being liver.
Okay.
And then 5%, another secreting organ, we use kidney. For
okay.
ours, because it's easier.
That's pretty close to some other diets I've heard, percentage-wise, but that's obviously more mm-hmm. specific with the liver and kidney
mm-hmm.
percentage.
Yeah, we've done what works for us, because we have there's a butcher in town, actually, who he has a mobile kind of butcher shop. He goes to farmers' fields
okay.
and does a lot of the prep there. And so we contacted them to source our organ meats, and then they also because the dogs are a little older and their teeth are, you know, not as strong as they used to be, just
sure.
just due to age, we get their bone as what's called bone dust. So when they're actually, when they're butchering the animals, they use kind of a saw, and it collects bone fragments, marrow, all kinds of other good, rich calcium kind of items. And so we feed that as they get bone too, but that's generally more as like a recreational kind of chew. And so they get a lot of their calcium through bone dust, except for during hunting season when we have more of an access to a lot of fresh foods. That is when they get a lot of like duck necks, feet and thighs are really good for that. So we kind of just used what's available. And right now that's more, a little more beef, lamb, and pork.
Okay. How old were they when you switched them over to a raw diet?
Oh, they've only been switched for like 3 months, 3 or 4 months. It hasn't been that long.
Okay.
We had started, we kind of went halfway. We started getting them raw meat and other things for like toppers. So they were kind of half kibble, half raw, just to make sure they would eat it, because there's some dogs that they don't like it. And so they were kind of half and half for a few months. And just the differences we saw, even with just adding, you know, fresh food toppers was incredible. I mean, a fed dog is a happy dog, is a healthy dog, is the best dog, all that good stuff. And I'm not, you know, I'm not going to claim it's a cure for everything, or it's done a ton of this magic, but just like changing it up every time now that we see someone that we haven't seen in a while and they pet the dog. So like, oh my gosh, did they just get a bath? They're so soft. No, they have a new diet, and they have more consistent energy. It's helped with their recovery times from a lot of their strenuous activities. And then another thing that is kind of the non-glamorous part of it, but they have less waste. And so it's actually, that was kind of one of the happy consequences of it, we noticed.
Okay.
And there's Mally. Sorry, she's oh, in your pool. Okay. Sorry, she just came outside, and now she's taking a dip in her little kiddie pool, making a lot of noise.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's a decently warm day here. She likes to jump in her pool whenever she's feeling like it.
But, yeah, what are y'all's temperatures look like right now?
So it's, Oregon's kind of funny. It's, so yesterday it was, I think, like 65 and cloudy.
Okay.
And today it's closer to 80 and sunny.
Yeah.
And so the temperatures fluctuate pretty rapidly here. It'll probably be pretty cold tonight, but I think it's supposed to rain this week, actually, still.
Well, I'm a little bit jealous. I think it was, we went for our morning run at about 6:30 this morning, and it was 88, 89 degrees.
Oh my gosh.
With about 80% humidity. So I'll switch with you.
Yeah, that's one of the things I love about Oregon, is the humidity is not a super big factor out here, luckily.
That is nice. Going back to the raw diet, sorry, off topic there just a little bit. I'm always curious about what other people's weather is like. Was there a specific reason other than, you know, just seeing it on Instagram, any reason why you decided to finally make the switch to a raw diet?
So it was, you know, it helped seeing pictures of other dogs that were on the diet, and it's like, oh yeah, they look really good. But when we started doing the research, and we were kind of like, well, what if we dip our toe in it? And we did the toppers just kind of as an experiment, because we knew that, you know, kibble wasn't probably what they should be eating. But it's convenient, and they were doing, you know, that kind of, well, they're fine, so, you know, it's probably not a problem. And then we started giving them the toppers, and it's like, oh, okay, they're actually much happier, much more energetic. And so that's when we decided to make the switch to full raw, and the changes we saw were like, all right, well, we're never going back to kibble.
Yeah.
Because now we've got, you know, it's just become part of our routine. I think we did food prep on Thursday because we had the day off for the 4th of July, but normally we do prep on Sunday nights. Yeah. We just get all their stuff ready, we do an organ mix. So we mix their liver, their kidney, and then we don't do a completely perfect prey model diet because we do add in some vegetables and some other things. Both okay. dogs really love grass. Like they eat a ton of grass, and we're like, well, either you really like it or there's something you need in it. And so
grass,
we add,
like just plain grass you source it?
No, they just like to eat our lawn. So we can't really treat our lawn with anything because they like to eat it. So they've just always had a thing about grass. And in the woods, like if we're walking, they'll just reach over on the trail and snatch a mouthful of grass.
Okay.
As we're walking. And so we joke we have cow retrievers. But they there's something about like plant material they like. And so we throw in some kale, and they really love carrots straight out of our garden.
Yeah.
So we throw those in, and just, you know, constant research on what's okay. Is, can you give them too much of something? And so that's where we got the more specific liver requirements was
okay.
I had done some research. And if anyone out there has any other research, I'm so open to it because there's so
yes.
many things out there that they're saying. But I had read that too much liver gave them too much, I think, vitamin A. And so I was like, all right, well, if we do, you know, this recommended percentage of the liver versus all liver. And so that's where that came from.
Okay.
But we tend to switch it up. We give them, we've been able to source like smelt, little fish.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try and feed them that occasionally as like a topper. We have chickens, and so they get eggs from the chickens a couple times a week. I haven't been able to get them to eat the shells yet.
I was just about to ask about that.
It's totally safe for dogs to eat organic chicken shells. You don't
yeah.
want to feed them the ones from the store because, you know, they, I think they bleach those. That's why they're so, so white. And so our chicken eggs are like, we have brown ones and then we have kind mm-hmm. of blue green ones. And
oh, wow.
I haven't been able to get them to eat those consistently yet, but they'll eat them occasionally. And so they get fresh eggs, and then just, it kind of depends. We do a little bit of coconut oil, a little bit of salmon oil, just different things to try and get different nutrients to them.
Yeah. And that's one part I'm always curious about is adding in different herbs, different additives
mm-hmm.
to make sure that they're getting all of the right nutrients and vitamins and stuff like that. And
yeah,
I'm the same way. If anyone has added information, I've talked to a few people and included some in some previous episodes about raw diet. I think the percentage wise that you're talking about is probably some of the more specific stuff that I've heard. And it also kind of brings up, I know that there's been a lot in the news lately about grain-free diets being an issue for dogs.
With DCM, yeah.
Yeah, heart health and, you know, how possibly including healthy grains in the diet might be beneficial for them. We are currently, Rue still eats, both of our dogs actually still eat a basic kibble, but, you know, occasionally I do like to give them not full raw meals, but you know, kind of what you mentioned, toppers.
Yeah.
As an addition to what they're eating.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of funny. When we first switched them over to raw, Mally wasn't a huge fan of it. She would go, we still had some of her kibble in the dog room where mm-hmm. we have a bunch of their stuff, and she would go in there and she would look at the can like, hey, are you gonna get my actual dinner out? But I, you know, I think as long as people are feeding their dogs and like keeping them healthy and happy, like that's really what it's all about. And
yeah.
so we just, you know, it works for us and it works for our lifestyle and what we're able to source. We didn't do it for the longest time because we didn't know where to get parts of the diet. Like we couldn't
yeah.
get organ mix at first, and so we're like, well, we're not gonna just feed them hamburger.
Yeah,
that's not very complete.
Yeah, I'm the same way. That's, I think for me the biggest part is now that I have a little more understanding of what goes into the diet, it's just finding where to get everything. And it really becomes, you know, living in a city, it becomes a scavenger hunt of trying to
mm-hmm.
track down all the right stuff. So that's kind of where I'm at right now and working towards getting into a raw diet at some point. I'm not in a huge hurry right now, especially if you mentioned you haven't really started them until just recently, and they're both, I won't say senior dogs, but they're both senior dogs.
we joke, age is a number, but they're seniors, and that's kind of part of what, we're all about, is that even if you've got a senior dog, they can go out and adventure and eat raw meat and do all that good stuff that the young pups are doing.
Oh yeah. Kind of curious, you were talking about fishing. Do they ever get to eat just fresh caught, whatever it is, fish or anything like that when they're out hunting?
I'm a huge worrier.
Yeah.
And so they do get duck. It doesn't, people have asked, if they eat it, does it make them want to, no, they still bring it back to us. They understand,
I guess there's a difference between having the fresh meat as opposed to having the whole bird with the feathers on it.
To be fair, there has been a time where we've left ducks outside before cleaning them.
Okay.
And they've been stolen. And so they're not perfect. They definitely still do naughty things. So they don't have a problem with whole prey meals.
Okay.
But that's generally not what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
One of the things about fresh birds and fresh fish is you have to worry about parasites.
Okay.
And so it's recommended that you freeze wild game for at least a week. To be safe, we go 30 days. So we'll freeze what we're going to feed them for at least a month, so that any parasites that might be in it that we can't see, obviously if we can see it, we pull it out. But just to be on the safe side, because I'm extra cautious with them, we freeze everything for 30 days.
Okay.
And then we'll thaw it out and they get it. Sometimes as a treat, sometimes as part of their meal. It kind of depends on how wild ducks are really small. And a lot of the fish we catch are generally pretty small trout. We don't do a ton of salmon fishing. And so it's kind of more of a treat for them.
Okay.
But they're definitely interested in it. When we get it, when we pull the fish in the boat, they're very interested in it flopping around.
Yeah, I bet. Looks like something fun to play with.
Pretty much. They're like, oh, is this a new friend? What is this?
How often do they get to go out and go fishing?
So they generally will go out with us whenever we go. And we go in the summer probably at least once every 2 weeks, if not every week. It's kind of like a lazy Sunday. Since we're right next to the river, we have a little boat. We go and put it in the water, and they'll go out and they'll lounge on the boat with us, and we'll go fishing and swimming. And they went with us yesterday. We went to Newport, which is on the coast, and they went crabbing with us out in the bay, actually. We're a little more cautious with that because crabs pinch. And so they have a spot in the boat where they had to stay when we were pulling the pots in.
Okay.
But pretty much everything we do, they go with us. It's very rare if we're going to do something that I haven't researched a dog friendly way to do it.
Uh-huh.
And so we end up a lot of places where can we bring the dogs? Is it okay? Are we allowed to do that? And so we found a bunch of places where they are allowed to be. Actually, Oregon's super dog friendly, so it's been really convenient.
Okay.
Where we are.
When does hunting season start up for them?
So they will be starting on, I think it's October 5th or 6th is opening day. We make a special trip every year over to a town called Summer Lake.
Okay.
And so there's a little campground there where we stay, and there's lots of open space for them to run around. It's kind of a marsh area, and so they can go swimming. And then they go hunting in the morning, and then they come back, and we all take a nap.
Yeah.
And then there's actually some hot springs down the road where the people can go. Unfortunately, that one's not dog friendly, but the rest of it is.
And duck season lasts quite a while.
It lasts
Does it?
until probably the end of January, so
Okay.
October, November, December. It's about 4 months.
Okay. And they just go out during duck season. They're not involved in any other hunting of any type, are they?
No, we go out and we duck and occasionally goose hunt with them.
Okay.
But they don't do any, I think what you're thinking of might be like upland bird hunting, like pheasant and partridge and checker. Those are like in fields, and usually those are like pointers will go out and do stuff like that, or Weimaraners,
Okay.
where they point at the bird, and then sometimes they go in and flush it and make it fly away. And
Okay.
so they don't do any of that. They've never been trained for pointing or like field work. They're
Just
more
retrieving.
water. Yeah, they're
Yeah.
water retrieval.
I guess looking through their Instagram account, I guess your husband does some elk hunting as well, but that's obviously not a dog-friendly
No,
hunting
the
activity.
dogs. No, my husband and I both, he elk hunts and I deer hunt.
Okay.
And so that's actually they get occasionally like deer liver
Yeah.
and stuff like that in their meals, which is great. And then we know where our food is coming from too, which I really like.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, that's not exactly a dog friendly sport. They don't like the deer enough to chase them, but I also don't want to chance it.
Again, I do thank you so much for coming on, especially kind of on short notice.
Oh yeah, of course.
And yeah, I'm definitely going to be in touch with you. At some point, I'm going to start probably, I want to plan a trip up to that area. So I will, yeah, I'm definitely going to have to
Yeah.
hit you up for
Come
some
yeah, come out
information.
and hit us up. We'll feed you elk or something and
That sounds cool. Well, have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
At some point, starting roux into a raw diet,
Mm-hmm.
depending on what your opinion is of it. But,
Yeah.
oh, hey, roux. Speaking of roux, here she is
Speaking
right
of
here.
which, well,
So,
and I have my little puppy Yogi right next to me.
yeah.
Yeah, he's in my lap right now. He had a big day here up here, so he's just snoozing away.
Okay. I guess let's go ahead and get started. So, to introduce you, you are Dr. Angie Zinkus, and you are the co-medical director at Germantown Parkway Animal Hospital here in Cordova, Tennessee. And
Correct.
you see both of our dogs,
Yes.
Rue and Wendy.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I'm not supposed to have favorites, but and don't tell anybody this, but they are some of my favorites, so make sure that doesn't get out.
Well, I think Rue's right here, but she doesn't have headphones on, so she can't hear this right now. Well, speaking of favorites, you also just picked up a little puppy recently.
Yes, a little dachshund puppy Yogi.
Okay.
I've been doing veterinary medicine for Oh, as a technician and doctor for 20 years now, and I had not had a dog in 10 years, and I've been used to Labradors, and I went with the Dachshund this time, and I am just in love with this little man.
How old is he?
He's 7.5 weeks.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got some work ahead of you.
Yeah. Oh, it's easy because I'm fortunate. I can bring my dog to work, and I have a staff who handles him all the time and takes him outside, so makes my job real easy.
Was going to say, I think he's in pretty good hands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, speaking of your expertise, and the whole reason I'm calling is, of course, to ask you about your thoughts on raw diet. And as all of my listeners know, I have been and will always be extremely interested in a raw diet. And I'm looking at possibly implementing some bits of raw diet or even doing a whole raw diet
Sure.
all the way in. But of course, it's always good to check with your vet first. So,
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you could give me, maybe your opinion, kind of what you understand about raw diet.
Absolutely. And first of all, I want to say I'm a very open-minded practitioner, and I'm really, I am open to all sorts of holistic stuff.
Sure.
You know, I'm open to, I'm an open book because I've learned a lot from my clients.
Yeah.
However, due to a health, you know, I took an oath to not only help with the health of patients, but also the health of my clients and their families.
Okay.
And I can't stand beside it. I mean, so you might have a lot of enemies with me, but I've got to come from a human health standard.
That's exactly,
and an animal. Yep.
That is exactly what I want to hear.
And I can base it on case reports too, of what I've seen at the emergency centers, what I've seen in the clinic, what I've learned from veterinary nutritionists, and go from there.
Okay.
And, you know, I've seen a lot of things, and I've researched a lot of things. I've had one client who was very savvy in nutrition and everything that was able to successfully do raw diet with her dogs.
Okay.
Great. However, from a practitioner standpoint, I might make a lot of enemies with this, but from a human health standpoint and from the medical standpoint, it does bring a health hazard, not only to humans, but your family and your dog as well.
Okay.
With the raw diet, we have to remember that dogs are domesticated animals.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't wolves. These are domesticated animals. And yeah, there could be some benefits to raw diet. You know, I've done the research, but these benefits have not been studied and tested. And what we do know that has been studied by the FDA and tested by the Human Health Organization is that these diets can be linked to salmonella poisoning, campylobacter,
okay,
and E. coli, which if you've got a child under 5 or an immunosuppressed individual or an elderly person, that could be serious to them.
Sure.
You know, I understand the benefits, you know, for raw diet, and there might be some out there. However, again, none of them have been clinically proven. What I do know are some of the cases I've seen. I do some work at the emergency centers in town, Animal Emergency Center and PetMed Emergency Center, and up here at the clinic even, we have seen cases of dogs with dilated cardiomyopathy.
Okay.
Due to them not being fed sufficient diets, be it grain-free diets, raw diets that come from boutiques. And you know what I mean by boutique diets? I mean ones that are mainly peas,
yeah,
and lentils and things like that,
yeah.
And what happens is these diets are not supplemented with taurine, and taurine is needed for the heart to function properly.
Okay.
And so if they don't have taurine, we have seen dogs with dilated cardiomyopathy. Luckily they have gotten here in time, and we've been able to take them off that diet and supplement them and be okay. But there have been dogs that haven't been so lucky.
Yeah.
So the thing we have to remember is that the raw diet, you know, any veterinarian who would recommend, they're going to say at least cook your meat.
Okay.
You know, I could not begin to tell you how much taurine they need, how much fat, how much, you know, blah, blah, blah. Cause I relied on the dog food companies, and I don't get reimbursed by any of them.
Yeah.
I don't get free dog food, any of that, but I do have ones I like. But you have to watch out for, you know, the thing that say they're grain-free, gluten-free, all that stuff.
Sure.
Because, you know, the thing about it is I have one client that needs a grain-free diet. I mean, excuse me, a gluten-free diet.
Okay.
And the reason she needs it is she's very gluten-sensitive. And so if her dog licks her, then she can be hurt. She can have a flare-up. So that's one reason.
Huh.
That's one in a bazillion. And again, that's one in a bazillion that I've seen be able to do that one client that was able to do a raw diet, and her pets were healthy. But, you know, there are veterinary nutritionists in that, you know, if you want to make a home cooked diet, go for it. You know, I have a lot of clients that come in now that the FDA has released that grain free diets are,
yeah,
linked to dilated cardiomyopathy. And they say, well, what do you recommend? You know, I'm getting off this grain free diet. And I say, well, I don't want you guys to spend an arm and a leg on foods. And I'm not naming any pet stores or online places, but as a whole, the dog food market is people are very smart and successful because they basically say, hey, make people appeal to themselves as humans. So for instance, they say, oh, you need a grain-free diet. And people say, well, I'm trying to cut down on grains. That must be good for my dog too. I once said, if I, you know, I joke
that if I was a shady veterinarian, I could take just a bunch of crap dog food, put it in a bag and say it was made by a veterinarian. And, you know, I'd make tons of money. I'd make $1 billion off that, but I'm not going to do that because it's not what is in the pet's best interest, or I don't, you know, want to be dishonest to my clients. These are their babies. Yeah. I'm looking down at my little guy now, and I personally would not feed him a raw diet because, oh God, that would just mess with his GI tract.
Well,
I just know.
Let me ask you, I guess, kind of some more specifics about doing a raw diet, because, I completely understand the whole the grain-free diet not being safe simply because a lot of that's replaced with starches, lentils, and other things, which you end up getting plant proteins and not enough specifically what you mentioned, the taurine, which I would assume would be in an animal protein. Is it possible?
An amino acid, yeah.
Well, is it possible to do a raw diet that is based on animal protein and does actually include healthy grains? So not necessarily grain-free, but still doing some, or the majority of that is that percentage of like 80-10-10 being an animal protein, bone, and organ.
Right. So the problem here becomes, again, if you're not cooking the meat, you have the high incidence of salmonella and E. coli.
Okay.
If you've ever heard of bully sticks.
Yeah.
Bully sticks are actually, and I'm sorry for saying this, but they're bull penises.
Yep.
And those are linked with salmonella. And yeah, the dogs love them, but they can make your dog very sick. Now, some dogs, I'm not gonna lie to you, have cast iron stomachs. But the risk of this, of these uncooked meats and stuff being around people, I mean, that's especially, I can't imagine, you know, a young kid or an elderly person or someone undergoing cancer treatment, you know, being, I would feel horrible if I was feeding a raw diet to my dog and somebody got sick off that because of that. And again, you got to remember everything you're reading comes from, not that there's anything wrong with this, but people's own internet perception, or, you know, you have a group of people. It's not based on statistics and science. If somebody can show me the science behind it, I'm all for it, but I just haven't seen that yet, and that hasn't been published yet, so I just can't get behind that.
What is your opinion of occasional raw treats, kind of what I've looked at, maybe not going full raw, but even just doing occasional toppers where I'm including some raw animal proteins? And I
understand. Define that.
When, for instance, if I were to cook a chicken at home, saving the organs and giving those, or something where it's not a full meal, like the typical pound and a half or whatever would be needed for a full day's diet, but doing ounces of raw meat, does that still pose the same threat?
Yes. So would you eat raw meat?
I have.
okay.
I do it on a regular basis? No. But sometimes I wonder, is there any adaptation to that over time?
So there could be. There absolutely could be. I can't say it would be fine. But I would feel better if the chicken or meat were cooked. I mean, if you want, I tell my dog, when people, if they want to put shredded chicken, cooked chicken, no seasonings, no skin, go for it. But it's not necessarily raw. I mean, people eat sushi and stuff like that, but that takes a risk.
And even that fish has some processing involved.
Right. So the thing we have to remember is, we want to take them back to their heritage of being wolves. Now, if you got wolves in your yard, feed them all the raw meat you want to. I don't care. And that's how they survive. But some of our domesticated animals, I wish I had a analogy to use, but, and I'll probably think of one, but it's just like, you know, would we go back to, oh gosh, this is a bad analogy, but say, you know, go back to caveman times when they had to pound two rocks together to make fire. I mean, it's much easier and it's much safer. You don't pound your fingers just lighting a match.
Sure.
Well, maybe it's not, you know. So,
well, I do see like the whole food, and also I guess I should have, in that introduction, should have let everyone know you're quite a runner as well. But you might understand that kind of the idea of like the whole food, especially for humans. That's something I've done as an athlete, is cutting out the processed foods, and it's made a huge difference for me.
Right.
Of course, not eating raw meats, but definitely whole fruits and vegetables.
Right.
Well, and even the meats that I do are minimally processed. So, and that's made
absolutely
a huge difference.
And I will say though that in my experience, every athlete is different. And I've talked to many elite athletes, mm-hmm. and we are all different in how we approach things, what works for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, the night before, you know, they tell you the night before you run a marathon, don't eat sweets. Da, da, da. I ate a big chocolate chip cookie the night before I won the St. Jude Marathon.
Yeah.
And a bowl of ice cream. And I have friends who drink wine before that.
Oh,
I
yeah.
can't do that. But, you know, it's whatever works for you as a person. And, you know, I'll say that if raw diet is what you believe in,
yeah.
you know, I will never, you know, I have clients with certain religious beliefs, nutritional beliefs, and I'm never going to step on that.
Sure.
That my job and every veterinarian's job is to educate our clients,
yeah.
to make informed decisions. As long as somebody knows, you know, my side of it, you know, do what you got to do. You know, if your dog comes down with salmonella or E. coli and has really bad blowout diarrhea, I'll treat your dog. I'm not going to say, no, you didn't listen to me. You know,
yeah.
if you come in and say, hey, my dog is doing great and, you know, doing awesome, I'm going to say, oh, kudos to that. That's just another tick. You know, I'll support you. But, you know, as long as you're aware of the, because I would hate for someone to, you know, for me to say, well, do what you want to do. And they go
yeah.
out and do it. And their dog or a family member, or their child gets really sick. And they say, why didn't you tell me about this?
Yeah.
Oops, my bad. So, you know, as long as, you know, people are educated, I think they can make, you know, you're adults, you can make informed decisions.
Okay. Well, that's exactly what I was hoping to hear. So,
yeah.
And of course, I've been not hesitant, but I've been researching this for
sure.
months and have
right.
have still not made a decision. So, yeah,
right.
this will definitely be part of that decision. And of course, first of all, thank you for coming on
Anytime.
Here and kind of giving me that info. But I'm sure that I will be in touch with you more about this in
Anytime.
The future. I promise I won't make any drastic decisions just yet, and hopefully Rue won't have to come to see you for anything terrible
like that. And I promise you, I will not say I told you so. I will not say that because, again, you know, I've made, you know, there's been things that have been, you know, veterinarians have been saying for years, and, you know, it turns out now in some things we're wrong. But, you know, based on old medicine, but, you know, it's just trial and error. You know, big thing now is CBD oil. And I've tried it on some patients. You know, there's some vets that are like, oh, no, don't use it, obviously without the THC. But
yeah.
I've had some patients that it has worked with. And when I see it physically work,
yeah.
that's awesome. I do platelet-rich plasma and stem cell therapy in dogs with arthritis. I've seen it work. So whereas a veterinary surgeon might say, you're full of it. No, I've seen it work. It works. Acupuncture, I've seen work. You know, and those are only a few case studies. But it's, you know, I've had more success than failures.
Okay.
And it doesn't hurt the animal
yeah.
long run.
Yeah,
so,
that is the most important thing.
First cause, no harm.
Yeah, I would hate to start into something that would be problematic in any way, even if it's just in the short term. So,
absolutely.
Well, thank you again, Dr. Zinkes.
It's my pleasure.
I appreciate it so much, and I will talk to you soon.
All right. You guys have a good night.
Good night.
All right.
And so, after this conversation with my vet, Dr. Zinkes, I am putting any plans to switch to a full raw diet on hold for now. Two main things influence this decision. The first, which has been the biggest issue, is sourcing. I've been having a difficult time finding a reliable local source for fresh quality ingredients that aren't too expensive. I could pick everything up at the grocery store, like I mentioned in the beginning, but that also kind of leads into the second reason, which is salmonella. And this is a subject that could have its own episode entirely. In short, salmonella it's everywhere. It's probably pretty likely that you have some on your hands, like right now, but, you know, don't freak out. Our bodies, and especially our dogs' bodies, are pretty adept at stopping small amounts of salmonella from ruining our GI systems. Dogs eat disgusting things all the time, and some dogs can actually be carriers of lesser forms of salmonella. But when you're feeding a raw diet, you want to source and feed your dog ingredients that you can trust. You want to know that they've been prepared to avoid all possible contamination. And that's easy if you know the source, such as a butcher or someone who specializes in preparing meats for pets, which Cassidy mentioned. Or if you hunt and process it yourself, like Jillian and her husband in Oregon. I, on the other hand, I don't necessarily want to trust my local grocery store to something that specific. So for now, I'm going to stick with the quality kibble that I've been using for 23 years now. I trust it, I've researched them, I can rely on it. And that doesn't mean that I won't give raw treats to my pups every once in a while, because I know how happy it makes them. There is tons of info in this episode, so I will definitely post links to all the info in the show notes, which you can find on the website at adventuredogpodcast.com. Email me your comments and opinions. I know there's going to be a lot of them at nathan@adventuredogpodcast.com. Rue and I love to read your emails. Or drop us a DM on Instagram. As always, thank you all for listening. Now, go and have an adventure with your doggos.